No, I have to look prepared.
Huh?
I have to look prepared.
What do you mean?
We want a simcha to see some old friends. So.
Tov, tov, zeh tomer.
After that.
Okay, rabotai, erev tov. Mizkunos shenim rabot. In Yiddish we say, gesunte winter. Should have a wonderful, successful, productive zman. Chodesh tifnut tazkir v'tatzlichu. Hope everybody had a wonderful Chodesh Tishri. And the Chagim, and it's unbelievable. It's my favorite time of year, but there's something to be said for getting back on schedule. I happen to like Siddur, and Baruch Hashem, we're back. So, I did get a few requests, and I think that for the winter's man, El is very short, so we did a few, you know, very quick things. But I think for winter's man, a good idea for the halacha classes would be, Musar, we have to still figure out a schedule, a Sefer Musar, we'll take a poll, and whatever they want to do is fine with me. But for halacha, I think a good idea would be doing like series of different halachot. And based on request, whatever you want to learn, we can explore in depth different angles of halacha. Some, if you want to talk about things that are a little bit taboo or whatever, I have no problem exploring those either.
What do they mean taboo?
Taboo means like... You know, people don't like to touch it too much. People don't like to talk about it too much. It's under wraps. Yeah, in the realm of Torah, there's nothing that's untouchable. You know what I'm saying? So, that being said, there was a request. I think we're going to start a... And every series should be a week or so, which is about three to four shiurim or so. A very popular request. People always want to know what's with Bet Yosef, right? It sounds like a... What is Bet Yosef? So I want to first... I want to break up the series into three parts. What is and what is not Bet Yosef meat, then, meaning including what are the other shitot and what is it talking about? Number two, how to navigate in situations where Bet Yosef meat is not available. And number three, how to properly track down what is actual Bet Yosef meat. So these are all questions that people, you know, I'll start by saying Bet Yosef is a big cliche. It's like saying Shabbat Shalom. People think that it's some sort of, they think it's like a cut of meat. You go to the butcher, one guy asks for a French roast, one guy asks for brisket. I'll take a Bet Yosef. No, it's not a cut. Yeah, people think it has to do with the Shechita. No, the Shechita is all the same. But the reason why the reason why I've seen it marketed before as quote-unquote Shechitat Bet Yosef is because it's really a machloket between the Bet Yosef and other poskim, as we're going to see, with regards to a certain trefa. So if you were to market it as trefat Bet Yosef, that probably wouldn't have as much of an appeal as shchitat Bet Yosef, but really that's a misnomer. It has nothing to do with shchita. So let me take you into the innards. I don't know if you saw before, some people who saw my pictures, during Chodesh Tishri is a very, very busy time for me. I actually had a private shchita during Chodesh Tishri of Kaparot, where I do the shchita myself and make sure everything's kadat v'chadin. You remember we had in life, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. That's it. Anyway, b'kitzur, so I did it myself. Anyway, mikol makom, let me take you into the kishkas, no pun intended, of shchita and trefot. Okay? Now, as follows. If you want to find the basis, it's always good you want to look for the mikorot of these dinim in the poskim, the shas, poskim rishonim, poskim acharonim, Maran, Rambam. You want to see where is this from? What is this Bet Yosef meat that everybody speaks about? There's Bet Yosef everywhere. There's more Bet Yosef than kosher. You know, there's everywhere is Bet Yosef. You're inundated. There's a flood of Bet Yosef. How did that even happen? Bezat Hashem, we're going to speak about that and more. So, in the confines of the shiurim, let's start by saying there are many, many trifot that the Mishnayot and the Gemarot in the third Pirik of Masechet Chulin, Pirik Elu Trefot, as the name would connote, speaks about all the different trefot that can happen to an animal. Trefa is sometimes an external, sometimes an internal wound that would not allow the animal to live out its year. The Torah prohibits us from eating trefot. Uvasar basadet trefa lo tochelu lakelev tashlichun oto. It's asur to eat. That's called the trefa. Now, in general, the halacha is, there's many, many trefot, many, in all different parts of the body. Can you imagine checking every animal that you do shchita on for all the trefot? It would take forever. You'd have like one shchita, one behemah per day if you're checking, and even that wouldn't, The halacha is, the Gemara tells us, there's a rov. Rov v'chazaka. Rov behemot kesherotem. Rov behemot are kasher, and therefore the chachamim did not require bedika for the multitude of trefot that were, if you, again, if you see something, say something, which means if you see a trefa, if you see some, then bevada, you can't just ignore, no, it's not there. No, bevada, it's a trefa. But in terms of bedika, in terms of searching for those trefot, the chachamim did not require bedika. There was one exception to that rule, and the chachamim said, you know something, even though mideoraita, rov behemot kesherot, but the chachamim said, one exception, we will require bedika for one organ. What's that? Lungs. Why? Because over there, it's matsui for animals to get messed up in their lungs because of what they're breathing, what they're eating. It is something that's mu'ad lepura'anut. It's something that could get messed up. And therefore, the Chachamim said, you must check it. I'll read to you the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yoreh de'asiman lametet. Yeah, remember. Ki tal orot talecha va'aretz rifaim tapil. How do you remember it's siman lametet? Tal, Kadosh Baruch Hu resurrects the dead through tal, through dew. Nachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu tal tchia. So we're talking about dead animals here. Trefot, tal. Anyway, b'kitzur, that's the way I remember. B'kol makom, en tzarich libdok achar shum trefot min hastam. Chutz min hare'a, tzarich libdok bebehema v'chaya im yesh basircha. V'chol haporetz gader le'echol belo bedika, ishechennu nachash, a person who eats animals without checking the lungs. The chachamim were very, very concerned about that. And they were upset about that. V'chule. So there's certain halachot. What happens if you can't check the lungs? What happens if the lung is lost? All different halachot. Now, from Seif Dalit, in this siman, until Seif Yud Gimal, the Shulchan Aruch discusses all sorts of methods and things that we're looking for in the lung. What are we looking for? What now? Obviously, trefa, literally the word, like we find in the Torah, tarof, toraf, Yosef. Right, and he says, what does trefa mean? Trefa means torn. If there's a puncture in the lung, the animal can't survive. That's very clearly a trefa, and it's asur ba'achila. That's not a question. That's not the only thing we're looking for, though. There's something else. There's two other things that we're looking for that some are problematic and some are not. You have to know these terms. Trefa, once again, is? Torn or puncture, a hole. Then you have something called a sircha. Sircha is an adhesion of scar tissue. Okay? Now, anybody who's taking medicine or dental or whatever, anytime you have an adhesion of scar tissue, what does that indicate? That there might have been, there's probably a wound under there somewhere that may or may not have healed. So according to Maran, what we're looking for also, I mean, according to everybody, sirchot are also not only a terefa, but a sircha is also indicative of a terefa that was there. Yeah?
It may or may not have, or did.
Did what? Did. Now, as follows, another thing. Then there's something that's called rir, which is, it's like mucus.
I spell that.
Resh, yud, resh. Yeah? So over there, that's mucus. Mucus is something that we're not concerned about. Mucus, you know, it's insides of the body. Mucus happens, or any other kinds of moisture, or mucus, or stuff that goes on over there. That's not something that indicates a trefa, and that is completely mutar, even l'da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch. Now, yeah, go ahead.
If the animal did have wounds and then healed,
okay, it's depends still considered
how. Trefa?
Depends how. Depends how much. Depends how
the
long.
The adhesion is still. But you say that adhesion.
The adhesion is still.
It's still there, but healed. It's fully healthy.
Now, listen carefully. Dat Marana Bet Yosef. Now this is where it comes. Why do we? Bet Yosef is not a cut of meat, and it's not a. Bet Yosef is a sefer. Now, the Bet Yosef is a commentary on the Torah. His opinion on this matter is what we call Bet Yosef meat. Is the shita that follows bidikat hare'a according to the opinion of the Bet Yosef on this matter, as opposed to the opinions of the Rama and other poskei Ashkenaz. Now listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. This is in here. Here we go. Saif Yod. Lametet Yod. Says Maran. Kol makom she'asu sruchat hare'a. Now again, there are differences in the sircha. But once we identify a sircha, says Maran, en efresh בין שתהיה סירחה דקה כחוט השערה, בין שתהיה עבה וחזקה ורחבה כגודל, He says it doesn't matter. Once we identify a sircha, it doesn't matter if it's as thin as a hair or thick as a rope. It's asur. He says, "Velo keotam shememaachim bayad v'im nitmaacha tolin lehakel." Not like those that rub the sircha and they rub it and rub it, and if it pops off, they say, "Oh, you see, if it was a sircha, it wouldn't come off. If it was a real sircha, it would stay attached. If it comes off, that's an indication that it's rir and not sircha." Says Maran, don't do that. Rather, if you identify any sircha, thick or thin, it's taref. And Maran says, v'chol hanoheg ken, anybody who has this practice of rubbing off sirchot and saying that's okay, ki'ilu ma'achil terefot le'Israel, is guilty of almost as if he is feeding terefot to Am Yisrael. Maran, clear as day, he gets this from a Tshuvat HaRashba. He copied it from there, and Maran Paskins like the Rashba and many other Poskim, Daran and others, who say that this is the halacha. Now again, I'm not going to get into all of the nitty-gritty because the nitrefot are very, very long. I'm just giving you the broad overview so that you know, al mim dubar. Yeah, what's the shayma? I like your sweater, Zefe.
Yeah, go ahead. When it's rubbing it off, you're talking about like an actual string, something that's hard, that's just moving out of place, or it's literally it's like goo?
No, it's not goo. It's, well, if I showed you a lung, you'd say goo is goo, but this is actual scar tissue.
That you're just moving out of place?
Yeah.
And then you're just saying no, just like hard on mucus?
Correct. Yeah.
If you rubbed it off and it was smooth underneath, mm-hmm. It means that the lung was complete.
Doesn't matter. Again, without getting too much into the details of sirchot, how much it has to heal, how many days, what has to heal under it, there's many different, what location of the lung, between which onot, there's a lot of, since this is not a trefish year, so I'm not going to get into it, because it's very hard to explain, and I don't have a lung with me now. You know what I'm saying? But we can...
We can fix that.
Mikitsur, so that
Landers
is...
Has money.
Huh?
Landers has money, they'll get him on.
Awesome. No, that's... Well, that's if we're looking for a lung, so we might as well do a real shchita. You know what I'm saying? But that I don't know if that goes.
Landers has a lung trip. We just started.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
From things meaning these things, we assume that in a year it would have killed or something would have happened.
Correct. It would have died.
So the sircha is to show that there might still be something that could kill, that would kill the animal.
Correct.
Right?
The sircha is an indication of a trefa. The chachamim understood that a sircha is an indication of trefa. Now, there's a machloket aposkim. What do we consider sircha and what do we consider rir? Now, the Rama, a few seifim later in Seif Yud-Gimal, says a little bit different than Maran, famously. The Rama says as follows. Here we go. V'yesh matirim lemashmesh besirchot ulma'ech bahim. There are those opinions. This is from Maharival, Kolbo, and other Rishonim that say that some do permit. Maran didn't permit rubbing them, which means Maran said, if you see it, doesn't matter how thick, thin, doesn't matter how sur. And don't rub them, said Maran. And that's like trey. The Rama says, no, there are some poskim who do allow rubbing the sirchot gently. They say, these poskim say, that a real sircha, even if you rub it all day long, it wouldn't pop off. Therefore, if it does pop off, we assume that what? We say it wasn't a sircha to begin with, and it was really rir. Even the Rama admits, this is a huge leniency. According to, what would Maran call such meat? Karov letaref. The Rama says it's a huge leniency. All of the people in our countries, who's the Rama talking about? Ben Ashkenaz already had this minhag for many generations, and you don't protest. But he says, he says, the checker, the one who's doing this, has to be a tremendously yirei shamayim. Why? Because he has to do it very gently. Anything, even a real sircha, if you tear it off, oh wow, it came off, shkoye. Yeah, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that if you do it gently, it's not going to come off, and therefore the Rama says that is kasher. Many poskim say because, especially in Europe, the health of the animals was, not so good. It was very cold, the climate, the food, so they're very not healthy. And Chalak Bet Yosef, the Chalak on the level of, well, we'll get there in a second why I'm calling Chalak, but meat that was kasher or bdikat ara'a that was kasher l'da'at manan was very hard to come by in Europe, and that's why the Rama employed this kula for Bnei Ashkenaz. Yeah.
Let's say by accident they came the first to the market, right?
Yeah.
They stuck to whatever the heritage of the Sirha. Can you say it's like a stick?
No good. No. You have to passel that animal. Mm-hmm. You can. The Rama says you can only be somech. Even he says it's a kula gdola to begin with, and you can only be somech if you're being mema'ech bina. Stop. Now, I want to. I gave you some halachot. This is very, very broad. Now I gave you some halachot. Now I want to bring in, I want to introduce some terms. Okay? Because these are terms that are thrown around a lot. And just to make sense of all the terms, because, you know, sometimes people mix them up or don't exactly know what it means. So let's get there. Maran said that there can't be any sirchot whatsoever on the lung. Correct? Therefore, we call that, Maran says, for all intents and purposes, the re'ah, the lung has to be what we call chalak. What's chalak in Lashon HaKodesh?
Smooth.
You want it to be smooth, no trefot, no adhesions, even if it has rir. Okay, mucus is still smooth, but it's got to be completely smooth. That's what we call basar chalak. If you look at Bida'at HaPuskim, they always call that. It doesn't mean that the meat is smooth. It means what? Meat from a cow that had a smooth lung. Verstehst? Pashut. Yeah? Now, that's basar chalak. Later on, that kind of evolved into other terminologies, as we'll see. But in the language of the poskim, that was always called basar chalak. What the Rama is machshir is not chalak. How do you know it's not chalak? Because you have to sit there playing with it. So that can't be chalak. What do we call that? That's called basar kashir. That's what in the poskim and in the industry, even until today, what the Rama is machshir, the rubbing of the sirchot until they pop off, if they pop off gentlly, and the Rama says that that's minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz and you don't have to protest, that's called basar kasher.
Basar kasher? Bas kasher?
Basar kasher. That's it. Can't call it chalak. Not chalak. It's kasher. Now, yeah?
Doesn't chalak also mean something?
Oh, good. I'm getting there. Good. Yeah. Well, now, wait a second. It's important to note that most respectable kashrut organizations, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, any international, let's put it this way, any national kashruyot in America, and all mehadrin kashruyot in Eretz Yisrael, they do not certify, as a matter of standard operating procedure, they do not certify basar kasher. Interesting. Why? Because all those kashruyot are Ashkenazim. Most, vast majority of the kashruyot are Ashkenazim. And yet, nowadays there was a haskama among all of the kashruyot of Mehadrin around the world, not to certify, or not to, I mean, it's still written kasher, but they don't put their stemple on it. Sometimes you'll have basar kasher abanut, whatever, that you can have basar kasher. But any Mehadrin, for instance, let's say in the United States, we're not talking about Israeli meat now, OU, Star K, Rabbi Weissmandel, any of the big kashruyot, CRC, any of the kashruyot in America, they have askama. They do not certify basar kasher lida'at rama, period, dot, end of story, if they have their hashgacha on it. Now, what are they certifying? We've spoken about two classifications of lung so far. We've spoken about chalak, and we've spoken about kasher. Tell me something that we haven't hit on yet.
Glat?
Ah, yafe. There's something that we call glat kosher. Glat. Now that seems like a little bit of a misnomer, because in Yiddish, glat means smooth. So really, glat is in Yiddish and halak is in Lashon HaKodesh. So is glat the same thing as halak? Is it different? Is it just a different language? Is it the same standard? What's going on? And if it is, whose shita is it? Because it ain't Maran, and we already spoke about what Maran holds it needs to be. We already spoke about what the Rama holds, that it needs to be minimum, and we said they don't even certify that. So what's glat? Let me explain to you based on a shiur that I heard from Agon Rav Belsky, Alav HaShalom, who was a master shochet and also the Yoshev Rosh. He was the chief posik of the OU. And so I watched a few of his shiurim in Shchita, and he explained it beautifully. Now, you wouldn't know this unless you have inside information. There is a Kabbalah. There's a tradition that Poske v'shochate Ashkenaz have, which is based on the Chatam Sofer, which is that if the lung has up to two negligible, very thin sirchot that are easily removed, once again, up to two, one or two, negligible, very thin, loose sirchot that are easily removed by rubbing, they still consider that glat kosher. Now, obviously, that's, now, is that better or worse than kasher? Why is it better than kasher?
Kasher can be more than two.
Kasher can be more than two, A, and it can even be thicker, as long as it's pliable enough to come off softly. This Kabbalah that Shochatei Ashkenaz have from the Chatam Sofer is, and the Chatam Sofer considers, he says, Yichlu Anavim Yisba'u, he says, this was not part of the Kula Gedola that the Rama said. No, this is even higher. Now, it's considered a higher standard. Now, what are they going to call it? They don't want to call it just kasher, because that would connote that it's the lower standard that the Rama refers to. And they don't want to market it as that, because it's not that. They're not certifying that. So how did they decide to market it? They can't market it as chalak, because chalak already belongs to Maran, Abet Yosef. So how did they decide to call this? What's the name that in the kashrut industry they attach to it? Glat. That's glat. Now, Rabotai.
Yes. The relationship between chalak and, sorry, between bazar kasher and glat is what?
The amount and thickness of the sirchot that are found on the lung. Now, as follows. Glat kosher is marketed by kashrut industries all over the world. Glat kosher. So for, let's say in America, meat that's certified by respectable kashrut agencies in America and in Canada, for that matter, has to be glat and above. What's glat and above? What do you have above glat? You have chalak. Now, since we're not in Eretz Yisrael, marketing it as chalak, now glat is good for Ashkenazim because at least back then, most Ashkenazim speak Yiddish, so they understand what that means. But chalak is going to get a little confusing. So what did they start? How did they start marketing Bet Yosef meat in Chutz La'aretz? They started calling it Bet Yosef or Chalak Bet Yosef meat. Right? Usually it's called Bet Yosef. Bet Yosef means that it adheres to the standard of the Chalakut, the smoothness of the lung that Maran requires. Okay? Now, let's get something straight here. There are Ashkenazim who do not eat Bet Yosef meat. Okay? Do we have all the terms? So far, all the halachot, terminologies. How many levels of kosher meat did I give you so far?
Three.
What are they?
Kosher, glat.
Kosher, glat, and now again, if you're a religious Jew and you're buying from respectable ashkachot, you shouldn't even be seeing basar kosher. You're not going to see it in general. Yeah? Because it doesn't get to the places we shop. Okay? You'll be seeing glat and above. Now, many Ashkenazim do not eat Bet Yosef meat. And that is legitimate. What's the shayla?
Why? It's higher.
You're going to tell me, Bichlal Matay Maneh, right? If they're eating Bet Yosef, and Bet Yosef is a higher standard of Sirchot on the lung, so shouldn't that be even better for them?
Because you can't, then they
wouldn't be allowed to eat.
No. Why is it better?
Huh?
Chalak has less of the...
Well, chalak, at least textbook, I'm going to tell you in the industry that maybe it's not the case, but textbook chalak, as the name implies, should have
zero
sirchot. Yeah? Just chalak. Now, I'm going to tell you that that's not the case in a moment, necessarily, but let's wait on that. Now, this would not be the first machloket Maran and Rama with regards to sirchot re'ah. Okay? About thickness and stuff like that. You know what else is big machlokot between Maran and Rama? The location of these sirchot. Where do these sirchot become problematic? Now, whereas I told you that according to Maran, Maran is more machmir about the pliability of the sirchot versus Rama, nachon? Maran is okay if it's a little bit more pliable, even if it's there, if it's pliable, it comes off, and Maran is not okay with that. But there are other machlokot about what area of the lung is the most crucial for these sirchot to appear. Meaning, what do I mean by that? According to Maran, there are more places on the lung where even real sirchot are not problematic. The surface area of the lung where sirchot are problematic, according to Maran, is smaller than that of the Rama. Which means that with regards to the essence of the sircha, who's more machmir? Maran. With regards to the surface area of where sirchot are a problem, who's more machmir? Rama. Therefore, many Ashkenazim and Bitzedek, they will not eat Bet Yosef meat because they say, hey, wait a second, even if a respectable kashrut agency, let's even a Sephardic one, says that this meat is halak Bet Yosef, halak neshitat Maran, that might mean that only in those crucial areas, according to Maran, it didn't have any sirchot, which is great. But Maran holds that some of the crucial areas, according to the Rama, are not problematic if they have sirchot. So what does that mean? That in these machlokot, sometimes you have Maran being machmir over the Rama, sometimes you have the Rama being machmir over Maran. Therefore, what do? Ashkenazim will say, just the fact that it's certified as Chalak Bet Yosef doesn't help us because it's only that's only one side of the coin. You hear what I'm saying?
So would it be completely possible for according to the Rama, Chalak Bet Yosef?
No.
If it's in certain places. So certain places Chalak is it's okay for the Sephardim, for the Ashkenazim it's no good.
No.
So maybe they'll buy Bet Yosef and it'll be not kosher.
One second. Because of that, and that is true, you have to be careful, but let me state, as a matter of policy in the kashrut world, a vast majority of at least Ashkenazi Echshirim in America and many of the Sephardi and Ashkenazi Echshirim in Eretz Yisrael, when they certify meat as Chalak Bet Yosef, they're saying, what does Chalak Bet Yosef mean? Chalak Bet Yosef means the Chumrot of Maran and the Chumrot of the Rama. They don't want to chas v'shalom be machshil the Ashkenazim. Rather, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make it better for the Sfaradim. You understand? And therefore, a vast majority of what is marketed as Chalak Bet Yosef, at least for sure in America, is certainly mutar v'mitsuyan l'Ashkenazim, such that they don't have to be worried about it. Okay? That's, if you speak to most kashriyot, that's their standards, that's their policies. Now, that's with regards to that. Very rare will it be the Hashgachah that certifies meat as Chalak Bet Yosef when they're taking both the Chumrot and Kulot of Bet Yosef. That's almost not done anymore. And when it's certified once again, what does Chalak Bet Yosef mean?
Today?
According to most Kashrut organizations, like I told you. It means Chalak according to Maran and Chalak according to the Rama. Whereas just Kasher or just Glat means kasher lidat rama, but not necessarily lidat maran, such that in general, Ashkenazim should feel safe to consume, at least in America, should feel perfectly safe to consume, either glat is perfectly, it's even better for them, like the Chatam Sofer says, or even Bet Yosef, in America, it's not a problem. Tov, now, so far so good? In theory, according to Maran Bet Yosef, there are, like we said, the lung, at least in the crucial areas, should be completely chalak, completely smooth of any sirchot. Now, even in meat that is, and listen to my words very carefully, even in meat that is legitimately certified as Bet Yosef, sometimes that won't be the case. Hey, doesn't that just defeat the whole purpose? Doesn't Maran say about that, Kilu ma'achil terefot le'Israel? How does that work? There are other halachot that I didn't read to you from the Shulchan Aruch about how to differentiate between sircha and rir. That's basically the name of the game, because if it's rir, it's okay. If it's sircha, according to Maran, it's not okay. What differentiates them? I didn't tell you all the halachot. And I didn't tell you all the techniques. Besides for textbook, poskim, there's also many, many kabbalot, many traditions that are handed down, and there's sfarim about this, sfarim like Torah HaZevach and others that talk about shchita, also Kaf Chaim talks about it extensively, and the halacha is that these things require a kabbalah, ish mi pi ish. You know, shchita is not something you can just learn out of textbook. out of the Shulchan Aruch. You have to learn Shkita, you have to learn the Halachot, plus you have to be, you have to learn the, you know, the hands-on logistics of Shkita, and you have to have a Kabbalah on it. The Halacha is, you know what a Kabbalah is? A smicha. If a person doesn't have smicha b'shkita, asur, shkita to psula. Shkita is 100% pasul. So there, same thing with safrut. Person has to have, in order to be mita'asek v'safrut, a person has to have a Kabbalah from a Moreh Tzedek. He has to have a Ketav Kabbalah. Im lo, everything he writes is pasul. That's the way it works. It's a lot tzchok.
Even for himself.
You have to be tested and have a Ketav Kabbalah. Now, it's a very, very serious thing. That being said, there are Kabbalot, there are traditions that are passed down from Shochatim, generation to generation. What is still in the confines of what Maran would consider Rir? What is it that Maran would consider Sircha? And therefore, even if I took you to the Shechita houses, and sometimes you'd see lungs of animals that are being marketed as Bet Yosef, and you would look at it as an outsider and say, hey, wait a second. That's not completely smooth. That's not supposed to be there. What are you putting a Bet Yosef sticker on it for? Sometimes you'd be right. Sometimes you wouldn't. It's up to the Rav HaMachshir and the Tzevet and the team of Shochatim Uvodkim to make that call. What still constitutes what's Rir and what's Sirchot? It's got to fit with the Poskim and the personal Kabbalot that the Rav HaMachshir or the Rabbanim HaMachshirim have. Verstehst? Now, that being said, I'll take it a step further. Unfortunately, in this generation, since every, you know, you don't really, if you're a Rav HaMachshir, you don't really have to answer, I mean, we're talking about Yirei Shamayim, but when you're a Rav HaMachshir, you get to call the shots of what the standards are. Now let me tell you a story, let me tell you the way it works. You can have in the same slaughterhouse, in the same factory, in the same processing center where the Shechita happens, you can have multiple Kashruyot doing their Shechitot using the same Shochatim. The same teams, Tzevet, the same teams, the same Shochatim, the same Bodkim, the same Rashi Tzevet, everything. But since they're different Ashgachot, they have different standards for what's acceptable to them and what's not. You know that? Same people, same teams.
They could just pass one of them? Say like this.
Meaning, at 10 a.m., you can have the team, the Shechita team, working for Hashgacha X, and according to their standards, this passes, this does not. At 12 p.m. or at 1 p.m., now it's the next kashrut's turn to do a run in this factory. And I'm not going to say their standards are totally different, but their standards might be slightly different. And what passed according to the first Ashgacha didn't necessarily pass according to the second Ashgacha, both in terms of Glat and in terms of Bet Yosef. You understand? Now, that being said, because the Hashgachot and the Rabbanim who give kashrut have liberty, just give me a 2-minute warning, yeah? They have the liberty to call the shots. Many times, and this, you know, this is not news, this is not, it's insider information, but it's very well known by everybody in the industry and by people in kashrut and people out of kashrut, everybody knows. Many times there are several kashruyot that consider certain things on the lungs to be Bet Yosef, and they can make that call because they're Rabbanim Machshirim, when, according to our Mesorah, according to our tradition, according to our Poskim, it really shouldn't be in Bet Yosef. Maybe it should be in Glat. Maybe it shouldn't even be in Glat. Maybe it should be in Kasher. You know? Therefore, this is what I'm telling you, and this is what I want you to take away from today's Shir. Just like anything else, you have to be educated. You say, why are we learning it from... We're not even learning from the Sugiyot, but why am I giving you Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Poskim? I'm giving you a broad, you know, spectrum of Shitot here in terms so that you're an educated, not only Bnei Torah, but an educated consumer. Not everything... You heard me before rambling, oh, Bet Yosef, Bet Yosef here, Bet Yosef there, Bet Yosef everywhere, right? Did you ever notice that there's such a surplus of Bet Yosef? Do you know how rare it is statistically, depending on what region the animals are from? Do you know statistically how many cows come out with re'ot that are chalak l'shitat Bet Yosef? I'm going to scare you. Yeah, depending, many shchitot go on in Canada. In Canada, it's very, maybe sometimes 5 out of 100 animals. Yeah, it's depending on the, and that's in Canada. There are shchitot that happen in America too. Many of the shchitot happen in South America, in countries like Uruguay, Argentina, some in Paraguay. Over there, the cows are a little bit healthier. The achuzim, the statistics of Bet Yosef animals, are a little bit higher in South America because the animals are a little bit healthier. But it seems very rare that there's such a surplus, and this is what Rabbanim all over the place ask, how is it that there's such a surplus of Bet Yosef, right? So you have to ask yourself, how is that happening? Apparently, what's happening? Yeah, like I told you what, there are things being... Now again, it's legitimate. I'm not saying chas v'shalom that there's shekir or fraud, not going there. Let's assume for a second that everything's legitimate. Meaning what? The Rav HaMachshir legitimately says, I am stamping this as Bet Yosef. Why? Because I hold this is under the umbrella of what the Bet Yosef meant. Okay. Entitled. But guess what? As consumers and as Jews, you're entitled not to follow that. You're entitled to follow your own Puskim and your own Mesorah about what fits into Bet Yosef and what doesn't.
We don't know. We just says Bet Yosef, no?
Nachon. Do you understand where I'm going here? Mm-hmm. You are in, just like the Rav HaMachshir is entitled, he's entitled fi halacha to make that call, what he considers Bet Yosef. You, just because you're not a Rav HaMachshir, you're also entitled to make a decision for yourself what's Bet Yosef and what's not. The obvious question that you're going to ask me now is what?
We didn't see it. We already know. It's already shecht.
We didn't see it. How do we know? Even if we did see it, we wouldn't have a clue. Yeah. How are we supposed to know? That's why everybody has to ask their own personal Rav about, again, now as we'll see in the next shiurim, not all communities, even among the Sfaradim ve'Aidot Mizrach, were always so makpid about this Bet Yosef. So if that happens to be your minhag, I'm going to speak about tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, the legitimacy of such a minhag. But if that happens to be your minhag, so no harm done. Because manavshach, if it's Bet Yosef, great. And if it's not, my minhag is not necessarily to rely, to be makpid on Bet Yosef. Okay. But if you're from the communities that are noheg lehachmir al da'at manan Bet Yosef, and especially if you're concerned about the wording of the Bet Yosef who said that those who employ these things of rubbing off, as thin as they may be, in those crucial areas, Maran says, "Kilu ma'achil terefot leIsrael." You better make sure to do havdalah bin real Bet Yosef to what we'll call. I don't want to call it chas v'shalom real and fake, huh?
Hel shel Yosef.
What?
Hel shel Yosef.
No, meaning Bet Yosef that conforms to our understanding and our masoret versus those that don't. Now, how would you know? You'd have to speak to shochatim in the industry who tell you, well, I've been at these shchitot and I know their standards, the standards of this hashgacha, they pass this. And the standards of that hashgacha, they pass that. So you really have to get insider information from the shochatim. Now again, if you have rabbanim that are involved, they can get you that information. It's not, basically, don't take everything at face value. That's what I'm saying. Just like, you know, lehavdim. If a person would go buy a car, you look into the Carfax first, right? You look up the Carfax, how many accidents, mileage, stuff like that. Buying meat, the food that you eat is no different. It's no less important than that. These are things that impact your avodat Hashem, your Yirat Shamayim, your Talmud Torah. These are things that you put into your body. This becomes part of your blood. So these are things that you have to take into consideration. Not chas v'shalom to scare, but just to be educated, to be aware of your surroundings, aware of what's going on around you. I'm going to leave the discussion here for now. We're going to continue tomorrow to speak about different kehilot among Sfaradim uvnei Edot Mizrach that had different understandings or different masorot with regards to this this whole topic of chalak ledat manana bet Yosef. I'll open the floor now for a few minutes to questions. Yeah.
Rav mentioned at the beginning that not
to certify. They wanted a higher standard. In the early days of kashrut in America, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, that's all there was, only kashrut. This was a big push by Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and others, because it was easy enough to get glatt, and that was plentiful. So why should we Why should we rely on a shita of the Rama that the Rama himself says kula gedola if we can get better? That was the driving force behind their haskama. Understand?
So if a person does hold of glass, he would be able to have kasher?
That we'll see tomorrow. I want to discuss that tomorrow. Which means, for an Ashkenazi, let's say, to eat basar kasher, that's now, I'm going to speak about that also tomorrow, but if you have meat that's legitimately, the Shulchan tells you this is basar kasher, and it's legitimate, it wouldn't be an avon for an Ashkenazi to eat, then Ramah said, zemin hagam. But just today, Baruch Hashem, achshur dara, we have better standards that we can easily employ, lama lo. Yeah.
To clarify, the Rav said earlier that's a machlokes between Moran and Ramah regarding the location of the sircha in the lung.
Well, there's two different machlokot. There's machloket about the essence of how pliable the sircha has to be, where Maran is machmir and the Rama is a little bit more mekel. And then there's another machloket about which areas of the lung are problematic if they have sirchot on.
But I've said Maran is much smaller, the Rama is much bigger. That's
correct.
That's
at least in theory.
In theory.
Their chashash is that.
Correct.
Many of the Ashkenazim who don't eat Bet Yosef meat, the Starkey also has an article on this. If you want to look it up, it's easily to find. He says that many Ashkenazim who have chashashot about Bet Yosef meat, this would be their chashash.
And that's in Sif Lamentet?
In Siman Lamentet also.
Where?
Between Seifim, you look at this whole discussion, Dalet to Yud Gimel. Dalet to Yud Gimel, yeah.
How do we find out what fits our standards? I don't know what my standard is.
So you have to, so every person, every family has a Rav. And you have to ask your Rav, just like you ask your Rav other shaylas. One of the shaylas has to be, now don't ask me because I'm on recording. But no, everybody has their own Rav. You can ask your Rav, which kashriyot have standards that we can rely on as Sfaradim who are makpid on Bet Yosef? Different Rabbanim among the Sfaradim might have different standards. Guess what? That wouldn't be the first time in Am Yisrael, that's okay. Just like kashriyot have different standards, Rabbanim who are okay with different standards might have different standards too. That's okay. But you got to find a Rav and stick to it just like any other matter in Halacha. Or, if you want, you can go through the sugya yourself, go down to the Mashchetot, go down to the Shchita houses and see for yourself and decide on your own. That's probably a little bit less practical than asking Rabbanim or Shochatim who are, they live it and breathe it, but you're certainly welcome to do that too.
We can just decide for ourselves what you want to do.
What do you mean?
We could just say like, I think this makes sense. Meaning we're going to go down and see how they shecht.
No. Yeah, you have to know. You have to know the sheet. You have to know, in order to interpret what's going on in the slaughterhouses, you have to know first. Otherwise, you're seeing things, but you don't know what you're seeing. You know what I'm saying? You could be looking at a spleen. Wow, nice lung. You know, it's you have to know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
So, you have to be certified.
Yeah, you have to have your hands in shchita. Ad kan rabotai. Lailatov, kol tov. Anybody has a kaddish?
He is not here now.